It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, August 29th, 2023. Well, in our marine weather forecast, we have a weak weather front moving over our waters today. Additional fronts will follow on Wednesday and Thursday, and after that, high pressure building over the Northeast Pacific will bring us gusty northerly winds. So we're easing our way into that fall weather pattern, where the weather gets a little like summery one day and kind of more fallish another day. And that's just sort of how we segue into the fall season. In our forecast, we have southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the southwest, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 3 feet at 11 seconds. And as I said, a chance of rain is in the forecast. Today, we're going to talk about a story about a tragic accident between a Coast Guard cutter and a fishing boat in the waters off Puerto Rico last year, and what it has to say to us here about potential incidents between big ships and small boats, which we have a lot of here, especially at this time of year. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. A quick look at today's ship schedule. We have the ATB commitment. She probably passed that story out around 8 a.m., arriving from Anacortes, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, and she's bringing in refined petroleum. She'll probably be in Vancouver by about 2 p.m. The Liberty Pride is a car carrier arriving from Japan, headed for the port of Portland. Honda's on board, delivering them there to the port, and will possibly pick up some Fords to take back to Asia, some brand new Fords. Passing Astoria around 9:30 a.m., you might see her in Portland by about 3 p.m. And the African Finch is arriving from China. She's going to the Crims Island Anchorage, which is a little bit downriver from Longview on the Washington side of the river. She'll be picking up soda ash eventually upriver. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m. Look for her at Crims Island Anchorage around 12:30 p.m. And the IVS Swinley Forest is arriving from Japan, headed also for the Crims Island Anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat eventually upriver. She'll pass Astoria around 4:30 p.m. Look for her in the Crims Island Anchorage around 7:30 p.m. If you'd like to see the entire ship schedule online, you'll find it on my website at shipreport.net, along with the podcasts of this program. And I also post links to the ship schedule and the podcast on my Ship Report Facebook page. Well, I'm always looking for stories that I can share with you that have implications for us locally here, and I came across one yesterday. It's especially applicable to, say, the Buoy 10 fishery, which is happening right now, where there are lots of small boats out on the river fishing. But really, it applies to any time here on the river, because on any given day, small boats and large ships can be sharing the same waterway on the Columbia and its associated waterways. Now, this story that I'm going to share with you is about an accident that occurred, a collision, in the waters off Puerto Rico last year between a U.S. Coast Guard cutter and a 23-foot fishing boat. There were two fishermen on board the boat, brothers. One survived with serious injuries, and the other did not. When this incident occurred, the weather was clear, but the sea state was uneven, with 15 to 20 knots of wind and 4 to 6 foot seas. Now, these are conditions that are not uncommon in our waters here, even on nice days. We certainly have Coast Guard cutters and vessels as large or larger than those vessels in the river transiting daily. So the lessons from this story could easily be applied here. So photos from a camera on the Coast Guard cutter showed how the conditions when the accident happened made it difficult for the crew on the ship to see the small boat. With whitecaps and waves higher than the small boat, the fishing boat essentially disappeared from view when it was in the trough of a wave. So essentially, for someone looking out over the water from the cutter, that boat disappeared from view every time it went down into the trough of a wave. The people on the small boat may also have had trouble seeing that a large vessel was nearby. So the weather, while not so bad that vessels would elect to stay in port, was bad enough to make the conditions difficult for both vessels to see one another. Now, under maritime law, technically, the smaller boat was what is called the give-way vessel, meaning that it had the legal burden of staying out of the way of the bigger ship based on how they were approaching each other on the water, and this is according to nautical rules of the road that apply everywhere. The fishing boat was engaged in fishing, trolling, and it had lines out, but that did not relieve it of the responsibility to avoid the cutter. Neither did the fishing boat display a required day marker to show that it was engaged in fishing, and the fishing boat did not have AIS on board that would have transmitted its position by satellite to other vessels. That's like what we see on marinetraffic.com. Nor did it have a radar reflector, which would have shown up on the ship's radar display. And while the legal burden was on the small boat to stay out of the way of the ship, there's an even more important rule at play here than deciding who was in the right or wrong legally. And that's something I've heard expressed in maritime circles as the law of tonnage, meaning common sense says the bigger vessel, bigger than you, has the right of way, in the sense that it's best for you to get out of their way in the interests of saving your own life, no matter what the law says. And while the small boat was technically in the wrong, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter was involved in a fatal accident, and her captain suffered serious professional consequences. The captain was suspended and eventually lost his command. In its final report, the U.S. Coast Guard said that the cutter did not live up to the public's rightful expectations, quote, with tragic consequences for members of the public we serve. We will do better, close quote. That's from Rice Admiral Kevin E. Lundy. In the aftermath of the accident, the NTSB suggested, among other things, the installation of voyage data recorders aboard Coast Guard cutters and equipping small boats, such as the one involved in this incident, with radar reflectors, or AIS. And a radar reflector, if you haven't seen one, is a metal device that you can raise aloft on your boat, which will show up on radar, reflects the radar signal, and alerts the crew of another vessel that your boat is there. So it's a really great defensive thing to have. So when we apply this to our situation here locally with big cargo ships on the river, visibility because of weather is not the only issue. Cargo ships, which generally have their bridge decks way aft toward the stern of the ship, have a large blind spot in front of them that makes it virtually impossible for them to see you when you are in front of them. Not to mention that even if such a ship could stop in a river with strong currents affecting vessel movements, it would take them, under the best case scenario, about a mile to stop. And in some circumstances, such as a loaded ship going downriver on an ebb current, they simply can't stop. So the moral of the story is, watch out for yourself out there if you're in a small boat, if you're in any boat. Mind the laws of physics, which don't care a whit about any of us personally. And drive defensively if you are in a small boat. Because in an accident, the larger vessel always wins, no matter who might actually be at fault under maritime law. We want you home safe after your outing on the water, with lots of good stories to tell and no tragic ones to grieve over. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.